It's good to be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. On Tuesday, I attended my mother-in-law's funeral. So somebody asked me, why am I not crying? I therefore started to cry. And I cried louder than anybody else. You had to go get me a towel. That's how much I cried. And I made everybody happy. I cried for about 10 minutes. I don't know why.
Just thinking about it, you're starting to cry again.
Somehow, when people ask me to do something, I do it. Yet, my feelings never change. And what feelings are those? All is well. Those words never come to my mind. But there's something that knows all is well. There's some mysterious power that is continuously felt. This power, of course, is the self, consciousness. It is beyond consciousness, beyond the self. What is called I is simply an image superimposed on this power. Therefore, I can be the body and the power at the same time. So the body can cry, can laugh, it can go through all sorts of experiences, but nobody is affected. The experiences are like a burnt rope. They're of no value. You can't do anything with a burnt rope. If you try to touch it, it falls apart. So the feelings and the emotions and everything else that this body expresses is like a burnt rope. It's of no value. There are no words to explain this. But I can assure you that everything is unfolding as it should. No matter what's going on in your life, or what appears to be going on in your life, believe me, it's all for your ultimate good. (Clears throat) there is nothing in this universe that can ever hurt you. No matter how things appear and how they look. First of all, you're not your body. There is nothing hurtable. You're not your mind. So there are no thoughts that can attract you or destroy you or repel you. You're beyond that. You're above that. What you really are, you have to find out for yourself. And you do that, of course, by stopping to identify with the body. And do not react to conditions. That's being yourself. It's not knowing words or paragraphs or phrases. It's not by memorizing scripture and trying to impress others. It's by being yourself. To be yourself, you just have to stop the thinking process. Always remember it is your thoughts that keep you from yourself. Every thought that comes to you is your enemy. Even the good thoughts. For the good thoughts are just leading you on. It is your mind playing tricks on you. The good thoughts are trying to make you feel that this world is real and you should strive after certain things. You should enjoy the world and take it for what it's worth. But then you have to come under the law of change. And you become disillusioned. Because the things in your life are no longer the same after a while. Then you have to jump back into yourself and take refuge in yourself. When you take refuge in yourself, you become happy. When you take refuge in yourself, you have peace. When you take refuge in yourself, you have harmony. You have joy. It's a mystery to me why people would take refuge in the outside world, in person, place, or thing. When you know the outside world is subject to the law of change and is never the same continuously. So whatever you take refuge in becomes a disappointment. Whether it's a person, place, or thing. There was once a young girl who was brought up in a house of prostitution. This was her destiny at the time. She couldn't get away from it. But she used to pray to Ramana Maharshi, "Oh Lord, if I must go this route, be with me. I'm not praying to change my life. If this is my destiny, but I'm praying that your strength and your love will always be with me." Now, across the street, there was a so-called Yanni. And he used to stand in front of the marketplace telling everybody their consciousness and absolute reality, preaching and screaming. And this went on for years. Finally, the time came when they both died, and they went before God. And God told the girl, "You have to go back to the earth, and you are to be a Yanni." And he told the so-called aspiring Yanni, "You have to go back to the earth as a snake." And the man said, "How come, Lord?" "I extolled your virtues to everyone. I told all the people they were consciousness and they were absolute reality. And you send me back as a snake, what did I do?" And God said, "You have no heart. You come from the talking school. All you did all your life was to talk, 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 talk. But this girl gave me a heart. She surrendered to me. She didn't bemoan her fate. She just wanted me to be with her during her trials and tribulations. And I gave her the strength to carry on. So now she is free. But you still have a lot to learn. So you have to go back as a snake." This makes us think, what are we really doing with our lives? We read lots of books, see lots of teachers, have a lot of head knowledge. But how many of us have given our hearts to God? And God is not far away. God is really the self. But in order to contact the self, you have to have a lot of humility. To feel God's grace means you have to surrender completely. have a lot of humility. You have to have the attitude, I know nothing, you are everything. This kind of an attitude will set you free. And yet how many of us have an attitude like this? Many of us think to become a yani, to become self-realized, we become proud. And you actually become more egotistical than you ever were before. We have a holier-than-thou attitude. This will never do it. There's really no difference between a bhakta and a yani. One surrenders to God and they have no other life. They realize that whatever they do, it is God doing it. And therefore it's good. They never complain. They never think of their problems. They think of others and their problems rather than their own. And the other one realizes that the I is responsible for all their problems and for their existence. So they trace the I back to its source, to the heart, and they become firm. At that stage, there's a merging of both, bhakta and jnani. So a bhakta is a jnani and a jnani is a bhakta. Therefore, if you see a teacher who thinks they are better than anybody else, and they seem egotistical, be careful. Most yanis never take on a teaching role at all. And they have very little to say. After all, what is there to talk about? This is what I was trying to explain on Sunday. Just being is enough. Not being this, not being that, just being. Being at satsang. And whether I talk about ice cream or jelly beans, it makes no difference. The words themselves have value because the sound of the words are the grace, that you feel. But the meaning of the words are only interpreted in your mind. That's why whatever I say is taken differently by each one of you. For it filters through your mind and your consciousness and your beingness mix with the words, and the words come out according to your way of life. But if you listen with no mind, then you get the true meaning. In other words, do not put too much value on everything I say. But open your heart so the grace portion of it may enter, and you may pick it up and lift yourself upward. How do you do this? Just by becoming still, by stopping the mental activity. And you may stop the mental activity by any method you know. If you like to do pranayama, do that. If you like to practice vipassana meditation, do that. You wish to observe your breath, do that. If you wish to practice self-inquiry, do that. In other words, do whatever you have to do to stop your mind from thinking. Vichara, self-inquiry, is only to keep your mind from thinking. That's all it is. All the practices of yoga lead to the place where you stop thinking. All of the higher religions are to make your thoughts one-pointed. And when your mind stops, you become yourself. You're free. There are no rituals you have to go through, really. You don't have to chastise yourself and try to get rid of your guilt feelings, some scars, or anything else. By identifying with an empty mind will do the job for you. But the empty mind is not realization. It is the step before realization. Realization is not an empty mind. Realization cannot be explained. Suffice it to say that realization is beyond everything and anything you can ever imagine. And if you achieve empty mind, then you're on the way to realization. At that stage, the guru within yourself will pull you inwardly, and you will awaken to yourself. So number one, you have to develop humility. You have to open your heart to loving kindness. Number two, you have to forget about yourself and your problems as if they never existed, and help others. Give of yourself to others, because there's only one self. And I am is that. Number three, you have to stop quoting teachers and telling yourself that I am Brahman, I am no mind, I am consciousness. For that really inflates your ego. You have to stop comparing yourself with anybody or anything. In other words, you have to become nothing. And that hurts some of you, because you say, after all, I've gone to school for 50 years, I've got a profession, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and now you're telling me I have to become nothing? Well, consciousness is nothing. It is no thing. What you call God is nothing. So if nothing is good enough for God, it should be good enough for you too. Can't you see now that when you say to yourself, well, I'll never be nothing, I'm somebody. I've studied for years. I'm somebody important. Can't you see now that this is what holds you back? Every sage has come to the point where they have thrown away the scriptures, thrown away the books, thrown away their body, thrown away their knowledge, and thrown away themselves with a small s. When you get rid of all that stuff, then you become yourself. Can you see now why it takes so long for some people? Because they're holding on to something. They say, I can let go of this, but I can never let go of that. I don't mean you get to the point where you don't care. I don't mean you have to quit your job or leave your family or go anywhere. You have to do all this mentally. You do all this in your mind. You use your mind to do all these things. And then the mind turns within itself and disappears into the heart. So take a look at your life and see what's holding you back. What are you attached to? What do you think is important in this world? You cannot have both. You cannot mentally be attached to person, place, and thing and awaken at the same time. If you want liberation, you have to pay the price. And the price is letting go, giving it all up, surrendering, having perfect faith that all is well. Not trying to interpret what all is well means. Just realizing that everything is in its right place. Just the way it is. That's it. Don't interpret that. There are no mistakes. As you begin to dwell on this, as you begin to dwell on these things, automatically, you will come to the place where you'll realize the last enemy to go is the eye. Everything has been attached to the eye. But you see how long it takes to get there? You have to do everything else first. This is why it's dangerous for some people to just teach Jnana Marga by itself. For egotistical people become great egotists. It builds up your ego. You have to have humility first and go through all these things we discussed. If you really want to do this, you will. You will not do this by taking action, but by sitting in the silence and surrendering your mind and your body to yourself. I Am will take care of itself. You see, I Am is your real nature. Therefore, you don't have to try to bring it about. All you got to do is realize that the stuff that's holding you back has to be given up. Everything has to go. Your whole belief system. What are you holding on to? think. What's in your mind that's so strong? Fear? The job? All those things are meaningless if you want to awaken. You will still have your job. You will still do whatever you came here to do. I have to emphasize this because we always believe, and the question that I get from most of you is that how will I function if I do what you say? I keep telling you, have no fear, you will function. You will function much better than you can ever imagine. It's hard right now working with your ego to think, how can I function without a mind? But you will. Here is something that cannot be explained in words. When you get to the ultimate state, you become human like everybody else. That's why it's difficult to know who a sage is. Because a true sage appears no different than you and I. The ultimate stage is functioning like everybody else. Except there's something inside. There's something that makes you understand that you are like the mirror. And your body, your affairs, and everything else in the universe is a reflection. You become both. It appears that you act out your humanhood, but you're not human. And this is the most difficult state to explain. For it is beyond words. It is beyond thoughts. It is beyond reasoning. You cannot be reasonable to become liberated. It's beyond every human faculty. That's why you can't think about it, and you cannot try to explain it, and you cannot even discuss it. All you can do is to do whatever you have to do to get rid of all of your stuff. That's all. And everything else will take care of itself. It's so simple. Words make it so complicated. The fact is, you were never born. You can never die. There is no power that sustains you and maintains you. You do not exist the way you appear. The same is true for the whole universe. It's only a reflection. It's an optical illusion. Like the mirage in the water, and the water in the mirage. they're both the same. The water is the mirage, the mirage is the water. So the appearance is water, but when you try to grab it, you grab sand. Everything you grab in this world is like sand. It seems so real. And then your emotions grab a hold of it and give it more power, so that the Maya becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Until you're in such a state that it takes you many incarnations to get rid of all the fears, all the frustrations, thoughts about the past, some scars. You have made these things real for you, but they do not exist. None of these things are real. But you have made them real. You've done it to yourself. Therefore, when you leave your body, you appear to go to an astral plane, and you take a rest. You meet your long-lost relatives that you couldn't stand. And then you go onward and go back into a body again. And you continue and continue and continue. But it's a lie. You're making it the truth. It is your truth because you believe in this. And you refuse to let go. Therefore, the mature aspirant of jnana will always work with their eye. That's where it begins. Trace the source of eye. Where did my eye come from? Watch it. Observe it. Watch when you get up in the morning. You feel so peaceful in the beginning. But as soon as you start to think about I, all your problems, your troubles in the world gang up on you. But if you begin to catch yourself, grab hold of the eye. Where did it come from? Where did it just come from? A moment ago it was at peace. A moment ago everything was all right. But now I'm worried. I'm upset. I'm thinking about my job, my future, my finances, my health. Where did I come from? The things about these things. And trace the eye back into the heart, which is the source. People have asked me what they're supposed to look for in the heart. Well, remember the heart we're talking about is on the right side of your chest, 2 digits from the center. That's your spiritual heart. That's the source. The eye comes out of there. So don't follow the eye externally. Follow the eye internally. You see the difference? don't go catching the eye as a thing that's about the world. Reverse the procedure. You want to follow the eye back to its source. So, you can see the source as a brilliant light, 1,000 times more brilliant than the sun. You can imagine the eye going back into that light. Merging with the light. Or, if you're bhakti inclined, devotional, you can think of your favorite saint or sage. And see your heart center as that sage. And the eye goes back into the sage or into the light. The sage absorbs your eye. I can assure you, if you practice this only a little bit, you'll have some amazing results. But for some reason, most people have to be on a spiritual path for years, practicing some form of yoga, before they can come to that stage where they can follow the eye back into the source. Yet there are those people who do not have to be like that. There have been those people who have had no previous experience. They were just able to see that the source of their eye is the self. And they become liberated that instant. The secret is not to allow the eye to take you over. How does the eye take you over? You begin to allow it to identify with worldly things. And you do that by thinking about them. As an example, you get up in the morning and you start to think you've got to conserve water. You've got to pay your rent. You've got to buy new clothes. And a million other things about I. But if you keep remembering that all worldly things are attached to the eye, you become introverted. And the eye goes back into the source. Once the eye goes back into the source, even for a few moments at first, you become joyously happy. You have much peace and harmony. You feel them easily. In the beginning it might not last, but at least you had it for a few moments and you were able to prove the truth of what I'm saying. As some of you have told me, you've been able to do this for a few moments and you felt a joy and a bliss and a peace that you never felt before. You're beginning to feel yourself, your real self. As you continue to do this every day, especially when you wake up in the morning, those periods will last longer and longer. They will expand. And you will be able to rest in that space, which is called the fourth state of consciousness. The gap between sleeping and waking. You will be able to stay there for longer periods of time. And you will feel what I'm talking about. Yet there are some of you who do no practice whatsoever. If you are a bhakta, you really don't have to. All you've got to do is surrender. Total surrender. Which leads to the same thing. But if you're an aspiring yani, and you want to get over with, grab hold of your eye, follow to the source, and become free, totally and completely. Any questions?
I've been following the eye to the source with the purpose of getting rid of the getting rid of the me, instead of finding the self. It just seems to be a semantic difference.
It is semantic. The self is reality. The I is me. The I and me are synonymous. Therefore, when you follow the I to the source, you're getting rid of the me.
It seemed to be just a collection of memories.
A collection of thoughts, of memories, of samskaras, of opinions, of concepts. That is the I. That's what the I is made of. So when you follow the eye to the source.
Follow the eye into the heart.
Into the heart, that's the source.
And then the I, the me, disappears into the self.
The I disappears, the me disappears. Everything disappears, you disappear. It's really a beautiful experience. But I know some of you, no matter how many times I say this to you, you're not going to do it when you wake up. Because you wake up so fast, and all you can think of is a cup of coffee. I get you, man. But you've got to learn to slow down. Immediately become aware as soon as you open your eyes. Of the time when you just woke up and you are at peace. Ask yourself, where did that peace come from? And you realize it came because you did not think of the I. As soon as you think of the I, everything is spoiled. And you're in your ego again. So even if it's for a few seconds, just by letting the mind know that you have been peaceful, because the mind was not working yet, you will be able to hold on to that experience a little longer every day. And the time will come when you become free. There are some of you here that are doing that. And there are some of you that are not. You know what you have to do. up to you.
Robert, what if instead of feeling peace or feeling bliss, you just feel blank rather than an experience of bliss? It's more of an experience of non-experience.
When you experience non-experience, that is also good. But that experience is not the truth, it's not reality. It's just a quiet experience.
Yeah.
Which is good. If you can identify with that experience, you will go beyond it.
But even the blankness, I remember Ramana was saying that the idea is not to obliterate thoughts, obliterate yourself, but to be fully present. You know, to be realized means to be fully present, not to be away from here and now. So that blankness is like a non-existence.
The blankness is a non-existence if your mind is causing it to happen.
Right.
If it comes from your mind. But if it comes from yourself, you will feel the joy and exhilaration. Even in the nothingness, you will feel the nothingness as total happiness. You will not be able to explain it, but it will be total happiness, and that's real emptiness.
And total presence, because what Ramana was referring to, he was describing a state as well.
As total presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, that is an emptiness. It's another term for emptiness, total presence. You have merged in the infinite, and you're totally present there.
Yeah, but if you are in a blank state, that's just another state of the mind. And
that's a state of the mind.
So,
all those states I'm referring to are still states of the mind, even bliss.
So do you just rest in that?
Rest in that.
And then whatever happens later?
You keep realizing that the self is all. Then all comes by itself, the realization. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. As you keep resting in that state, you keep going deeper and deeper beyond it. Because you're still aware that you're in that state. As long as you are aware that you're in that state, it's the mind. The mind will go, and you will not be aware. You will just be. And that's the final state. When you're not aware.
If you're in a this mental state of blankness, would devotion help to get out of this mental state? Because it seems to be just the mind. Maybe if you get more into surrender, you might get...
It will definitely help.
Yeah.
You can surrender the blank state to yourself. You can say, take itself. Or you can think of your favorite saint or sage and surrender the blank state to him or her. Give it all up. That definitely helps. But the blank state is a good place to be so you can go further. Everyone reaches the blank state. Then you become aware that someone has reached that state. So you inquire, who is that someone? where did the someone come from who has reached a blank state? And you will go deeper. Whatever state you acquire, go deeper by inquiring, who am I? Who am I that has reached this state? Never stop until you disappear.
Bart, you said something about giving service and forgetting oneself, giving service. Not that I'm against giving service, but isn't that putting, use the word, not indulging, but finding refuge in things outside of myself and doing that, isn't that a refuge also? I can make service a refuge. I can use that.
You mean you can get attached to it?
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Thinking, and there's another ego trip, right?
But of course you realize that by giving service, you're not being attached to it. You're doing it impersonally.
I don't know if I can do that. It seems like when I do that, it's always with an ulterior motive. If I really question it, there's always, I don't get something out of it. That's all I'm doing.
Well, the next time you see a homeless person, give him $5. And see the thoughts that come into your mind. And question yourself, why did I do this? What was my purpose? Ask yourself those questions and see what happens. But by giving yourself away, is it a good way to go higher in consciousness? For you are erasing yourself. You're in the process of wiping yourself out.
And that's what it feels like. It's really difficult to do that. It's really difficult to give. Just give in any form.
Ask yourself why. To whom is it difficult? Ask yourself. And of course the answer will come, it's difficult to me. And carry on, ask yourself, where did this me come from that makes it so difficult? Who is this me? What is its source? Again, you follow the me or the eye to the source. By inquiring, who am I? What is the source of the I that has this difficulty? And as you merge with the source, the difficulty will dissipate. Therefore, everything you've got a problem with, work on that and realize it's the I that has the problem. When the I merges with the source, the problem has been resolved. Shanti, 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 om, shanti. Peace. Any comments, questions? Do we have any person? Thoughts, comments, announcements.
Well, it's easy in your presence or in the presence of the people here to practice what you're suggesting.
You mean it's difficult when you're by yourself?
It's not as easy.
Why don't you imagine that we're all together?
Okay.
When you're by yourself. And because there's nowhere to go. So we're always with you.
Sunday, Robert.
Oh, I'm going to start this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. What should we do with these song sheets?
Okay.
You want to take his home? You bring him a scissor? Unless you hide him somewhere in Henry's house.
Do I?
You can hide him in Henry's house.
Okay.
With a dog on a poop on him.
Okay. I'll take him home. Xerox
off
or are they
already Xerox? No, we're not putting their Xerox.
They're already Xerox?
Yeah. Clyde, you were in Hawaii singing Balsico, right? So why don't you share with us how it was like?
We were in the presence of someone just like you, a loving, dear presence, witty as you, the company was all as we are.
Did he pass around measurements?
Oh, God. Coconut.
Dogs?
Oh,
there were cats.
Did everybody get some?
He quoted Ramana more often than he quoted his own guru, Mr. Granada.
Mm.
Very, very often. Many quotes from the book, which I was very thoughtfully given. And which many people had with him, by the way, had Ramana's book with them.
Mm.
And there were many, many people who knew Henry, of course, since Henry was the first one to bring Ramesh Balsakar to this country. And
Henry's very popular.
Henry, everyone knows Henry. I mean, it was, is it Henry Dennison? Yes, oh, Henry Dennison, of course, I've heard so much about him. Did Nancy stop by the way? Mm-hmm. I guess she was too late.
I told Henry last week that I was listening to Alan Watson radio.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Pacifica Radio every Monday.
Monday at 1.
So, so they play the tape from 1957. And Alan Watson saying, I'm sitting in Henry Dennis's house looking out the window.
That's what comes of being a hopeless seeker. It's the worst disease going. Not quite. I'm 80 now.
It was really nice, though, that it was intensive because there were two talks a day, and we were all together, and there was a big meditation room, and many beautiful places to go, waterfalls, and swimming and snorkeling. And, no, it was in Maui.
He doesn't eat them, he just leaves them on the floor. No, you don't eat them. No, you.
What do you call when we have a banquet here? Is it Bandara?
Oh, Bandara.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice because we had three of those every day.
Really?
All with the vegan vegetarian food, which was prepared on the premises.
Yes, I was.
People who owned a restaurant. Really talented cooks. It was really excellent.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Not enough desserts, but other than that. It was really good.
I'm going to leave you around.
Mm-hmm. I know,
no, everyone's gone now. This is the best place to be.
And we don't have food.
But we have raisins.
We have raisins. Yeah.
Raisins. Henry, can we have more
banquets? Who's going to eat it?
Who is
this the same week?
Oh, all right. Who's
the
same person
who's
eating the
raisins? When is Ramana's Maha Samadhi? I forgot, I think it was this August. Month.
It was in April.
April, wasn't it April?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have something to celebrate.
Next April,
right? That's what I'm
Oh. Guru Purnima is in July.
July?
Yeah.
We can't wait that long.
I'll try to find out Ramana's Mahasamadhi date if it's already passed, we can still celebrate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
In the middle of April.
Shiva Rajan is in Juniper can't find anything else.
It's the day after. Your birthday's in December?
My birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
When is your birthday?
The season.
Do you remember the day you became enlightened?
The season.
What was it like that day?
The season.
Did you just hit yourself on the forehead and say,
what did you do? Did you wake up in the morning and then say that?
You're
back to us,
don't you?
No. It's in one of the transcripts. You know, the reason I don't want to discuss all the birthdays and stuff, because people have a tendency to bring me presents. So that's only why I'm on that day.
Don't you like presents?
Hmm?
Don't you like presents?
No.
No. What's the matter with you?
I'm crazy.
What you got against presents?
Why should I get presents? Why don't you get presents?
I don't care. If they come, they come.
So I'll give it to Henry.
Sure. Great. No objection. Slam on, baby.
Henry, when is your birthday?
August 25th.
Well, alright. It's not even.
We'll have a celebration.
Okay. Now, when's your birthday?
What's mine?
I gave mine away. Yeah, sure.
I think Glenn knows. Do you know Glenn?
He used to know.
I've got it written down on the calendar at home.
I'm already at 30.
It's in one of the transcripts.
Yeah.
I'll give you a clue. I'm Aquarius.
Oh, you're welcome.
What's that?
My sister's birthday.
When is that?
January 21st.
How'd you know?
It's in the transcript. I read them.
January 21st?
Mm-hmm. And what? Who? Your sister?
God.
Yeah, that's why she remembered that. We're going to celebrate your Enlightenment Day.
Oh, boy. So futuristic thinking.
Yeah, well, tomorrow. May 3rd, 1991. No, May 4th. May 4th.
You're the wise meter. I wouldn't have believed it. You know, the wise meter.
that suggestion of substituting a saint every time we sense our need works real nice in this room.
Make every room this room. It's your mind that tells you something is easier and something is harder. Okay, remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself. Because God dwells in you, as you, I love you, peace. Until we meet again, have a good life.
There's some strawberries out here.
Strawberries?
Oh, that's nice. Go get a strawberry.